Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Does the idea of making bone broth soup out of chicken, beef, or fish bones make you squeamish? Did you grow up on Jell-O but don't really eat anything with gelatin anymore? What about ribs or chicken wings? All of these foods are good sources of collagen in the diet, and if these aren't part of your regular intake, you may need to consider a collagen supplement. Tune in to our discussion all about how including collagen can benefit our health.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hey, Rob.
How's it going?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm really good, too.
Good.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking today about collagen benefits.
Like the benefits of collagen, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm just trying to understand. Yes. Collagen benefits.
Right. You've heard of collagen?
I've heard of collagen, and I'm hearing a lot more about collagen lately.
Yeah.
Is it like... I don't know, trending or something?
No, it's not. There's been more evidence that it's useful, helpful, and really beneficial, especially in our modern day diet.
Oh, okay. It's like good for your skin, right?
That's one thing it's good for, yes.
Okay. I mean, that's really the only thing I know about it. So there must be new or more benefits that we're going to hear about.
Yeah, I think the cosmetic industry has used collagen and promoted its benefits for years, but now there's lots more evidence that it helps with other issues like joint problems and osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. And we're going to get into that, but we're going to talk about what collagen is and how the body utilizes it, why we all need collagen protein in our diet, why it can be helpful for weight and blood sugar issues, and it actually can help prevent inflammation, and how much to consume, which foods actually have it, so how you can get it in your diet. And we'll talk a little bit about supplementation of collagen too.
Okay. Sounds like a powerhouse.
Yeah. And there's a great article on the website about collagen.
Oh, written by...
Myself.
By Sandra Gentleman. Well, impressive. All right.
It stems a lot from a lot of clients taking it in their coffee or taking it in their daily intake. And so I delve deeper into the research and the evidence and what it is, how it works, why it's needed. And it's great. There's lots of good information.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's dive into it.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of, collagen is a very abundant protein of our body. It's basically the glue that keeps us all together.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It holds the body together. So it's part of the tendons. It's part of the cartilage, even the blood vessels, our eyes. It's a third of all of our tissues.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. And it breaks down or something and needs to be replaced, or does taking it, like getting it through our diet, is that why we need it?
Yeah. Well, actually, as we age with the body's wear and tear, we do actually lose a lot of collagen. And without enough collagen, our body, it can be creaky and leaky and floppy.
That's funny.
Seriously, like, you know, the joint pain, stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
Leaky gut, of that. It's all related.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's not like the silver bullet, like the cure-all, but it's definitely a big part of the puzzle of our how our body works.
And what is it? Is it like a mineral or a, like, how would you describe it or define it, I guess? And does our body, did you say our body makes it and then?
Yes, our body does make it. It's made of three amino acids. Glycine is the most abundant amino acid in collagen, and proline and hydroxyproline.
Oh, right. Okay, those.
Well, but okay. So it does lack some essential amino acids. So it's not a complete protein. That's the big difference.
Okay.
So for instance, if you eat gelatin, you've heard of gelatin or Jell-O.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up on Jell-O, didn't we all?
Right. Yeah. Right? Well, it's funny because we, you know, it's not
Jell-O generation.
Yeah. And that's funny because there's collagen in that, right? It's made of collagen.
That's what makes it kind of elasticy and Jell-O-y.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not a real common food in our diet now.
No, unless you're in the hospital.
Right. So the collagen lacks tryptophan. Do you remember that amino acid?
Yeah, that's from turkey.
Yeah.
It makes you sleepy.
Yeah. So a complete protein has all the essential amino acids, and collagen has three main amino acids, as I mentioned, like glycine, proline, and hydroxyproline. But the cool thing is, if we get, like, consuming dietary collagen stimulates the body to make more of its own collagen. And so that helps delay the wrinkles, the arthritis, breakdown of muscle, and bone loss.
Oh, wow, that's really neat.
So all the wear and tear over the years that happens with aging.
Nice.
Yeah, so it is a pretty important piece of the puzzle in terms of our intake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been more evidence to suggest that it can be helpful for people that have pain and stiffness from osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. Have you heard of those two?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so osteoarthritis is kind of wear and tear as you age, and then you develop inflammation in the joints.
Mm-hmm.
And rheumatoid arthritis is more of a autoimmune condition that can be familial, meaning it's hereditary. And it also can develop with age.
Right, right. And they both kind of hurt. It hurts when you move, right? That's what I think of with arthritis. So the collagen kind of makes you a bit more flexible, your joints, I guess?
Yeah, 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 exactly. It benefits the skin and joint health. It actually helps with bone density and strength and helps with wound healing if you've had surgery or if you have any sores or wounds that you need to heal. That the collagen can be a part of the structural integrity of the tissues and help with the strength.
Nice. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. Now, there's different types of collagen, like type 1, type 2, type 3.
Oh, really?
And in the joint, the collagen that helps with joint pain is type 2. So that's something to consider when you're looking at supplements, if you are taking a collagen supplement.
Oh, they're all available, you mean? For you can take any of those? So you have to choose the right one. It's kind of like the B vitamins maybe, right? Like there's all the different types, so you've got different types of collagen. Is that sort of what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so exactly. There's different types. And the cool thing is Mother Nature has provided collagen in the food supply for eons.
Yeah.
So do you know how we get collagen in our diet?
Was it orange foods that had collagen? I remember we did an episode on this a long time ago and there was something about, I can't remember. Why don't you just tell me?
Yeah. Episode 32 was all about skin health and collagen and the orange foods. So that was like beta carotene rich foods and sweet potatoes and squash and carrots.
So they're good for your skin, but they don't have collagen, is that? Or they do have collagen?
Well, collagen's a different element.
Okay.
In terms of skin health. So we had included collagen in that discussion because it's relevant in our skin health.
I see. Okay. But they're not in orange foods necessarily.
Well, you know the bone broth that I make pretty much every week?
Mm-hmm.
and like we'll cook a chicken and then we'll eat all the meat off the chicken. Mm-hmm. And then
you like process the bones into bone broth and then we have soup and.
Yeah, like just basically simmer the bones in water and herbs and onion skins and garlic skins and mm-hmm. like different discards that are in the freezer from the week's vegetable.
Sure. Yeah.
Scraps. And that all goes into the Instant Pot to make bone broth soup.
Nice.
And that is rich in collagen.
The bone broth, because of the, it comes from animals? Because it's off the chicken? Is that what makes it?
Comes from their bones.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, that's one thing to mention is if you're vegetarian or vegan, all of the collagen supplements are animal-based.
I see. Okay.
So they're either from, usually like in supplemental form, it's from cows or pigs or fish. So it could be if you're pescatarian, vegetarian, then you could take a fish collagen supplement.
Okay. Gotcha. So if you're, there must be supplements then that are plant-based or is there, if you're vegan, you're out of luck.
Collagen is made from animal products.
Only. Okay.
So what other sources of, in our diet do you think? We mentioned earlier something that you used to eat.
Hot dogs? No, I'm just joking. Something I used to eat. Oh, I love it when it's a big mystery game on this.
Jell-O.
But that's not an animal product.
It comes, yes, gelatin.
What? Really?
Yes.
That's where gelatin comes from?
Yes.
Oh, man. The things I learn on this show. Really?
Yes.
See, when I eat a big bowl of Jell-O, the last thing I'm thinking about is that it came from an animal. That is crazy. Really? Wow. I bet I'm not the only one like going, really? I bet there's lots of other people out there. So I don't feel so bad. So
So gelatin is used in dishes to offer a gelling and thickening component. Like it's a thickening agent.
Mm.
And it's found in like Jell-O pudding and other jelly dishes. And it's in pâtés and meatloaf and yogurts and jams, mousse, soups, and sauces.
Not mousse like the animal mousse. Mousse as in like the fluffy dessert mousse. But it's from an animal. That is crazy. That kind of blows my mind. Wow. Amazing.
Right. And then when you open a can of sardines mm-hmm. or a can of salmon, see the skin in there?
Yeah.
That's loaded with collagen.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So including, you know, we always talk about trying to eat at least one, maybe two, maybe more servings of fish a week. And if you include canned fish with the bones and skin, then you're getting a good source of collagen.
Perfect.
To replace that collagen that you're losing with age.
And do we just lose it through wear and tear?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really good for skin elasticity. It reduces fine lines and wrinkles. It's really good for joint mobility to reduce joint pain. And it helps promote connective tissue health.
Hmm. And is there a certain amount that we need to be taking or I'm sure there is, right?
Well, the research, there's been over 24 randomized double blind control studies with various amount of people and various designs. But generally, it's around 5 grams to about 15 grams a day. And so if you have a collagen powder supplement, you'll notice the dose is usually in that range. So you should look at how much is in that scoop. Say it's a protein powder, it's a collagen powder. There's probably around 10 grams per scoop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the evidence is showing that is likely helpful. So, you know, some people I know will kind of, it gets expensive to be buying supplements all the time. So they might have like half a scoop and put that in their coffee. But if you're not getting the full dose, it's probably not going to be as effective.
Right.
So that's why I suggest like try to include it in your diet too. Like have bone broth soup and try to eat foods that are made with gelatin and have that skin on like the fish, so the canned fish with skin, and also bone, like if you do eat meat, so ribs and chicken wings, the skin on the poultry, those are all foods that are rich in collagen and will give us natural dietary sources.
Okay. But isn't the skin like bad for you too? It's like fat, like it's part of the meat you don't want to eat, isn't it?
Isn't that? I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of people think that and they take the skin off the chicken. And that's a throwback from the 90s when it was like low fat era.
Oh, okay.
And that is like where the most abundant source of collagen in our diet is like the chicken skin. Because that's a really common food that people eat is chicken. And if you include the skin, so it's different if you're getting, you know, like a deep fried chicken with the skin, you know, that's not as good because it's deep fried. So you're getting this processed oil product that's deep fried. That's not great.
Right.
But if you're cooking chicken from home or if you buy like the...
like the pack of like, yeah, whatever, chicken thighs or... breasts or legs or
exactly
wings or whatever.
Yeah. And it has some skin on it. And if you're eating the chicken off the bone, then you're going to get a little bit of that collagen just from the connective tissues in the animal. I know a lot of people are kind of grossed out with that. Like they don't eat meat on the bone, but you will get more benefits from the collagen, the natural collagen in your diet if you do include those foods.
Oh, you mean versus just buying like boneless chicken breast?
Exactly.
Oh, I see. So you're better off to buy it on the bone.
Yes.
Oh, crazy.
And the benefit is then you can use the bones to make bone broth soup, your homemade bone broth soup.
Absolutely.
And you know how like after it's been sitting in the fridge, you see the jelly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the collagen.
I always thought that was the fat kind of rising to the top, or it's probably both, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Interesting. Is there collagen in bacon?
No.
No. Why not? Because it's not on the bone? Oh, really? It has to be the meat that's touching the bone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Huh. I'm learning lots today.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's a few gelatin downsides for people.
Probably. I'm sure there's ups and downs for everything, right?
Yeah, the downside is it's animal derived, as I mentioned before. So if you're vegan or have religious...
restrictions around eating certain kinds of meat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would affect your choices. And as I mentioned before, it's not a complete protein. So that it's not your full... protein source. So you do need to eat foods with protein. Your meal should have some protein. And then collagen can be added on top of that.
What do you mean it's not a complete protein? Like if you're eating chicken and getting the collagen from chicken, isn't chicken your protein?
Yeah, chicken is. Yeah. But if you had a collagen powder.
Oh, I see.
Or like if you're just eating Jell-O.
Gotcha.
That is lacking the tryptophan. It lacks some of the amino acids that we need. So it's not a complete protein.
So Jell-O has protein then?
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's got...
But not a complete protein.
Exactly.
Wow. See, that is still blowing my mind.
Yeah.
I had no idea Jell-O was so potent.
And some people have allergies or sensitivities. So that could be the other downfall for some people. And it could possibly, depending on the source of the collagen protein, if you're having a supplement like a powder or pill and you don't know the source, it could have heavy metal contaminants just from like a lot of foods in our food supply.
Yeah, interesting. So what are you going to talk about next? Because I have a couple questions, but maybe they're on your list. I want to know like how to use it. Like, because you're talking about different powders. Did we talk about all the places it comes from in food? Just all your meat sources that are attached to a bone and Jell-O.
Yeah. And like, so gelatin is in desserts. So
be. You mentioned all that stuff.
In like Jell-O or mousse, it could be in jellies and jams. Sometimes jellies and jams are made with pectin, which is a plant fiber, and it's not collagen, it's different. It could be with gelatin, it could be in pies and cheesecakes. or gummies.
That's not going to be a source though, is it? Like you'd have to eat a lot of that stuff. Like you're not going to get your source of collagen from the gelatin in pie.
Well, that's the whole point, is like including these foods can give you little bits of the collagen in your overall intake.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we should be careful with giving the message that, oh, you can get collagen from eating pie, and then people are going to be like, oh, it's okay to eat all this pie because I'm getting collagen. It's good for me. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just explaining where you find gelatin in the diet.
Okay.
So you can do what you want with the information, but so you can get it in pies and cheesecake. Some of them, not all of them, are made with gelatin. But if you're a chef or a cook, you probably know a lot of these cooking methods, and you know that you use a little bit of gelatin to make gummies or marshmallows. You can put gelatin in soups and sauces. Or do you remember the aspics from the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, tons of those.
Yeah. There's gelatin in that. There's meatloaf, pâtés. Some of those have gelatin. A lot of yogurts, like some yogurts actually say no gelatin added. So some yogurts do have gelatin. Puddings, glazes and coatings, and some frozen treats can also have gelatin.
Okay, so what are some... I guess healthy sources for collagen in our food. Maybe that's a better way to.
Probably the bone broth is a good one.
Okay.
Definitely the skin on fish and the bone in meats, like the ribs and the chicken wings.
Are some sources higher concentration of collagen than others? Like, you know, like how red meat has a lot more protein than say an egg does. Like, is there more collagen in beef than there is in chicken or fish or something like that? Or are they all kind of even?
I think there's a fair amount in bone broth. That's a good way to get it. But if you're like relying on gummies to get all your collagen, it's probably not a great way to get your collagen. I don't know if that's answering your question. I don't have like actual grams per amount.
Okay. But probably like the ones you listed were a better source than getting them from pie and Jell-O.
There's other important nutrients that help the collagen work. For instance, vitamin C rich foods.
Oh, like you take the vitamin C rich food in combination with your collagen food?
So vitamin C rich foods like, you know, the citrus fruits and kiwis and strawberries, those, if you're eating enough vitamin C rich foods in the day, that helps the matrix of the collagen work to help build collagen in your body, or build the tendons, the cartilage, the skin, the bones, even our arteries and our gut lining. It all needs collagen.
Wow. That's really neat.
It helps with like elastin in our skin. So keeping our skin
from shriveling up.
Yeah. Having the elasticity and also keeping the hydration for our skin.
Right.
So less dry skin. Also foods that are sulfur containing can help with the collagen production. So we've talked about the sulfur containing foods, something we put in most of our stir fries and our soups and stews. We add them.
All the cruciferous vegetables.
And
like
we,
broccoli, right?
And the bulbs.
Broccoli and, oh, garlic. Is that what you're thinking of?
And
oh, an onion, I guess, too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You just named the top three most common sulfur-containing foods. So the garlic, the onion, the broccoli, the cauliflower, the cabbage, the cruciferous vegetables.
Right on. And sorry, what do? They help something along the way?
They are essential for the collagen synthesis.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
To help with our, just the matrix.
Yeah, and as well as vitamin C foods.
Yes. Okay. And also a few more copper-rich foods.
Copper-rich foods?
Mm-hmm.
Like
so
what?
Found in nuts and seeds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I got stuff that's grown in the ground is going to absorb minerals, and that's why they're rich in those minerals, right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and shellfish, so things in in the ocean. So. Huh. Shellfish and organic meats and whole grains also have copper.
Right. And kids who lick pennies. I've done that.
It's one of those things. That's so gross.
It's one of those things you do as a kid. You're like, oh, I wonder what this tastes like. And then you do it and then you never do it again.
Ugh. There's also proline and glycine rich foods. So glycine, as I mentioned, is the amino acid that's abundant in collagen.
Did you say choline?
Glycine.
Oh, glycine. Okay.
Yeah. So glycine actually is found in nuts and seeds, again, like the copper too.
Mm-hmm.
Also in beans and legumes and lentils, whole grains, and also soy foods.
Okay.
So that is another way to help boost the collagen.
To help it. Like you still need the collagen source, but if you're eating these other things, it helps it kind of break down process or whatever of the collagen.
They build up the synthesis of the collagen. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The other thing with collagen is when you said break down and build up, it's highly digestible and bioavailable, meaning that we eat it, it breaks down, and then our body can absorb and use it.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's broken down into smaller peptides, so they're broken down into smaller elements.
Okay.
So people, as I mentioned, put it in their coffee. That's one way. Or you can put it in smoothies or oatmeal.
Like you're talking the supplement, the powder, right?
Yes.
It's like a protein. And can you get protein powder? Didn't you say you get protein powder with collagen in it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. Okay. And that's what the article on the blog is focused around, is trying to find protein powders. If you're already using a protein powder and you want to get the collagen benefits without having two types of protein powder, like the protein powder and the collagen powder, you could buy protein powder that has collagen in it.
Right, right. Or you can just get a straight collagen powder. And is that something everyone should be trying, or we try ideally to get it through our food? Like, who would use a supplement?
Yeah, that's a good question. They've done the studies, and people that have the joint stiffness from osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. In rheumatoid, it's an autoimmune disease. So the immune system attacks the joints, and collagen helps to build up those joints and helps with the tendons and the cartilage and helps with repair and reducing pain.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, it could be if you're not getting enough collagen in your food, like you don't have bone broth soup, you don't make bone broth soup, you don't have anything with gelatin, you're not eating vitamin C rich foods regularly, you don't really like cruciferous vegetables or anything like sulfur smelling or containing, those are all indications that maybe you need to take a collagen supplement to make sure you're getting the collagen that your body needs to help with the wear and tear of the breakdown of the collagen that your body has and you want to build it back up.
Right. How much, we're talking about, you said 5 grams of collagen, that's kind of how much we need per day?
No, I said that's the minimum. It's usually around 10, so 5 to 15 to 20.
Okay. So if I have like a plate full of chicken and I don't know, all the things you said, am I going to get my dose of collagen, or like how much would I have to eat to get it out of my food?
Good question. I think just including it more often throughout your week. So having the bone broth soup and maybe using that in soups and stews and casseroles and different ways, like stir fries. You can use the bone broth in lots of different applications when you're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get a little bit in that with like through the gelatin and through the, there's actually collagen in that.
Right.
And then if you do have chicken and there's skin or tendons and the ligaments, like all the, with the bone, if mm-hmm. you eat that you're going to get some that way. I think with our modern diet, a lot of people do not get those sources, like the sources in like Mother Nature's sources, like in terms of they don't like the chicken with the bone. They don't like ribs or chicken wings. They're not really having bone broth soup.
Right, right. I see. And how would you know if you're not getting enough? Just those symptoms, like your joint pain and just kind of feeling wrinkly and what did you call it? Leaky, drippy and something or other.
Yeah, exactly. Leaky, creaky and floppy.
Floppy. I don't want to ask.
So you kind of feel like, you know, like you're...
like the guy in the Wizard of Oz. Who was it? This is all like bent over and the...
The Scarecrow?
Maybe. Yeah, because he didn't have a back or he didn't have a spine or something.
Yeah, and the Tin Man was pretty...
he was creaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all needed collagen.
Exactly.
That's what they should have asked the wizard for.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the it's really, it does benefit all of those things. Like the, as I mentioned, the skin, the nails, the eyes, the gut, the joints, tendons. So there's quite a lot of function, like the elasticity in the skin, the firmness of the skin, the hydration, the smoothness, the lining of the gut, like the gut lining, the connective tissues in our joints, cushions joints. It's for pain and stiffness to reduce that. Mm-hmm. So have more mobility. It helps with muscle. So as I mentioned, it's not a complete protein. So you still need to get your protein through your diet, like having a good amount of protein at each meal, mm-hmm. and maybe some snacks, but the collagen's in addition to that. It also helps with the bone, your framework for your bone and for bone mineralization, and the hair and nails, and also the cardiovascular health, so your blood vessel walls have collagen.
Right. Okay. So for someone who what would you recommend to someone who wanted to start including more collagen? You'd probably say like start eating more fish and skinned chicken, or would you just say add some collagen powder to your coffee? Or
good like, question. I would actually just see what they're already doing, mm-hmm. and then get a good comprehensive history, see what kind of symptoms they're having, what's happening in their life, what's their lifestyle like, their stress, their sleep, their activity, any joint pain, any leaky gut issues, any of those, and then go from there.
Okay, so someone who's listening to this episode, they're not going to all run out and talk to a dietitian. They're going to try to self-diagnose at home. So what advice can you give to them about what, like, look for the same things, I guess, and then make sure you're including some of these things we mentioned. And it's not going to hurt anyone to start taking collagen. Is there any downsides to taking collagen?
Well, they can definitely look at the article on the blog, because it's very comprehensive.
Okay.
In addition to hearing our voices here.
Great answer.
Yeah. And I think we talked about the downsides.
Okay.
The downsides would be if you're vegetarian or vegan and you can't eat any animal sources of collagen.
But for someone to just start taking collagen, it's not dangerous, is what I'm saying.
That's a really good comment, because there hasn't been any harmful side effects except for people with kidney disease, and they have to watch overall protein, how much they're getting.
Okay.
And collagen would add to that load for their kidneys to process.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or if you have allergies or sensitivities, that's the other issue that might prevent you from getting benefits from a supplement.
Okay. Awesome. I feel like I put you through the ringer on this one.
Did you read the article?
Well, if I read the article, then I wouldn't have anything to ask you, because I'd know everything. So I like coming in like knowing nothing, and then I can ask all the questions. That's more genuine that way. I like to be authentic, you know.
The article is titled Benefits of Collagen, and we talk about understanding collagen in protein powder. So we did touch on that a little bit. And the nutritional angle of collagen in protein powder, talked about skin health, joint support, bone strength, muscle recovery, gut health, and practical solutions for incorporating collagen. And food sources of collagen, which is a big one,
mm-hmm.
Bone broth, gelatin, bone-in meat, skin-on fish, and vitamin C-rich foods, and the sulfur-containing foods.
It's a very thorough article. I'll give you that.
Yeah, the proline and glycine-rich foods and the copper-rich foods.
Right on. So yeah, you can find that on our website, and it gives you probably everything you need to know about collagen and how to use it and where to get it and all that sort of stuff. So check that out. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about? We got it all covered.
I think we covered it all. Just like the collagen covers our whole body. And it's like our bag. You know, we talked about the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, if we didn't have collagen, we would just be a bag of bones. Wouldn't even have bones, really. Because it's part of that, too.
Wow, yeah.
It's like such an abundant...
It is like the glue that holds us together. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it really is. And we do lose it with wear and tear, just our daily living. So it is really important to try to incorporate it in your diet, if you can, with those sources we talked about. And if you do not eat those things, then you might want to consider taking a collagen supplement.
There you go. Well, thanks for sharing that with us today. That sounds like some important information. And like we said, check out the blog article that Sandra wrote. It's on our website. It's mywifethedietitian.com. If you have questions for us, ideas for the show, that sort of thing, you can email us at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And while you're on the website, join up for our newsletter. It's a weekly newsletter we're putting out to our subscribers. They get information about upcoming shows, about what we've done. There's a tip of the week. There's some other links that we'll include as well. So sign up for that. We're also on social media at Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So check us out there. Give us a like. Subscribe to YouTube if you can. That would be amazing. That's super helpful as well for us. And don't forget to rate and review. That's also super helpful. Keeps the show moving forward. It helps other people find it. It sort of puts a bit of a spotlight on our show so other people can find it. And that obviously helps us too. So the more the merrier, the more joining us, the better off for everyone. We can all share the health, good times. You can also share with a friend if you'd like.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Share with a friend or a colleague or coworker or family member.
They like to know what you're listening to.
Yeah. And, you know, we're happy that you are listening and spending your time with us. And also sign up for the newsletter that comes out every week.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Sandra listens to podcasts like almost all the time. She's always got a little earbud in and she's got something going on. And sometimes she'll just have like a big grin on her face. And I'll be like, what are you listening to? And then she'll tell me. And so that's the same. People will see you listening to our podcast and they'll be like, what is that? Why are you smiling and laughing so much and having such a good time? I want to hear what you're listening to.
So, that's true. Eh?
Right?
That's funny.
So you gotta share with those friends. They want to know. So.
And it's so handy because you can kind of, it's a bit easier than watching videos because you can listen while you're driving or walking the dog or doing laundry or, you know, cleaning the house or whatever, or even out in the yard, you know, raking leaves or gardening or whatever, where you can listen to the audio. And that's kind of a handy, it's kind of something that most people have a habit, like if they're listening to a podcast, it's almost a habit of when they're doing that, like driving or commuting is totally. A good example too.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice we have this. So
that's why we started this like years ago, because I did a lot of commuting around our Vancouver Island here. And it's, you know, it doesn't take, well, it's like 3 hours to get to Victoria. And that's a long time in the car. So got going on podcasts and there's just so much.
It's a great way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of good information out there that you can learn through podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many people don't know about podcasts yet. So that's why you got to share it. Get other people in the loop and let them know what they're missing.
That's right. And actually, it's nice that it's on YouTube also, because a lot of people can access it that way, because most people know about YouTube and have watched things on YouTube. So you can also listen to us on YouTube.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets. And yeah, that's all we have to say.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, Sandra. Have a good week, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.